Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
And now more than ever, so many of us rely on the U.S. Postal Service to deliver not only our mail, but essential packages like food and medicine. And yet the organization is facing some serious financial troubles, anticipating a loss of $2 billion a month during this pandemic. A bailout does not seem likely at the moment either. President Trump recently refused to sign the CARES Act if it funded the Postal Service. For more, we're joined by Philip Rubio, professor of history at North Carolina A&T University. And Philip is also a former postal worker. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
The Postal Service feels very much like an essential service. It employs more than 600,000 people. And thinking about how we got to this present moment, which feels like financial ruin, really, you say this starts with an uprising from workers back in 1970.
Absolutely. It dates back to the United States Post Office, which is when that nationwide illegal wildcat strike took place because postal workers had just had it. They were tired of seeing such puny raises that were not giving them a living wage. Many of them were living on welfare with food stamps while they were working for the post office. And there was a battle between President Nixon, who wanted his postal corporation, and the postal unions, who wanted to have full collective bargaining rights within a government agency. What we wound up with was a compromise, essentially. The Postal Reorganization Act of 1970 led to the establishment of this hybrid that we have today called the U.S. Postal Service. So it's part government agency and part corporation, because postal workers are the only government employees who enjoy full collective bargaining rights. But on the other hand, Congress also directed the Postal Service to become self-supporting. They have not received any federal funds, in fact, since 1982.
You know, that's really interesting and astounding for many people who likely don't know the history, that the Postal Service has not received federal funding since 1982. That's a really long time. It really seems like the Postal Service has managed to stay afloat for the last few years, but the last 10 years, it has faced really routine financial problems, really starting back in 2006. What happened in 2006?
Right. Well, so 2006, essentially, the George W. Bush administration balanced their budget on the backs of the U.S. Postal Service, which had overpaid by some tens of billions of dollars into the pension funds. And rather than pay the Postal Service back, what they did was write into law, which a new law called the Postal Accountability and Enhancement Act, that forced the Postal Service to have to pony up $5.5 billion a year for 10 years, paying it forward for retiree health benefits 75 years. In other words, retirees who hadn't even been born yet, much less taken the postal exam. So what happened starting, well, 2 years later, we had the Great Recession, and the Postal Service has never required a bailout. But in 2009 is really when we can date the postal financial crisis, when they started to bleed red ink.
Because they did not receive a bailout in 2009.
Yes. What Congress did was refuse to repeal that law. So the Postal Service began having to do panic austerity measures that didn't help that much.
Now we see a reboot of all of what you're talking about, but why is there this contentious relationship for a service that seems to be such an essential service for just about everyone in the country?
That is a good question. It's got a lot of people scratching their heads. And what I would argue, what I have argued, is that there has been a longstanding conservative agenda that has regarded the Postal Service, and even before that, the post office, as a dinosaur from the past or socialistic or something that should be privatized, with its most lucrative services sold off to private carriers like UPS or to FedEx. And what happened with the postal financial crisis of 2009 is it provided that kind of, I guess you could say, self-fulfilling prophecy.
In your opinion, what's at stake, especially in an election year, if we can't count on the postal service system and the postal workers. The president has been very vocal about being opposed to voting by mail, for instance. Can you talk a little bit about that? What's at stake as we enter into continued pushes for federal funding for the U.S. Postal Service?
I think the Trump administration is playing a costly game of chicken with the post office. I really don't think they want to run it into the ground in an election year. After all, even though Trump doesn't see the value of voting by mail, which I think it would help protect our democracy, it could be secure. That's been proven. But besides that, who's going to deliver the stimulus checks? Who's going to deliver the millions of prescriptions that every day go out? The letters, the cards, the parcels, anything that you can put postage on. So, you know, we can count on the post office, but what we have to be afraid of is Congress not doing their job and President Trump apparently willing to take that chance. So what happens next? We don't know.
That's Philip Rubio, professor of history at North Carolina A&T State University and author of Undelivered, From the Great Postal Strike of 1970 to the Manufactured Crisis of the U.S. Postal Service. Philip, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.